Hey, welcome back to Growtential. I am Sarah, and today I am not accompanied by my dad. You might think, because of the way he looks, that he is my older father figure. But in fact, it is my good friend, Chet Beatler.
Yes. Actually, many people have told me I have more of a face for radio.
So the podcast world is good for you. Yeah, good. Hey, we are coming back at you to Growtential. It is a father-daughter podcast where we talk about the things that we're working on, the things that we're growing in, and we just like to share with you. So today I am with my brother, my good friend. Chet, how long have we been friends?
It's been a long time. I'm thinking early 2000s.
Yeah.
Easy.
What? So you're about 57, 58.
You know, I don't like how this is going so far. I just turned 40 this year.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You're 40.
Yeah. Yep.
You're so young.
It's not going well. It's
as he has his shoulder taped and his back bandaged.
Earthly 10 is wearing out quick. Yeah.
Well, I'm super thankful for you because Chet is pinch hitting for me because we had some technical issues. And so I just couldn't bring it to have my dad come in and film for the third time. So, but here's what I've noticed about you, my friend. I noticed that you carry joy around everywhere you go. I think one of the blessings of West Campus, so we have three campuses at our church, and I had the privilege of working with you for like 5 or 6 years, and we grew up together doing ministry, the Doxa era for our 20-somethings way back when, and there is such a vibe at West Campus. Like when you walk in, there's such a sense of joy and welcoming and just like friendship. And I think it has a lot to do with who you are and your personality and like your leadership. And so I'd love to digest some of this with you today. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, I think those are really nice things to say, and I appreciate that. I think a lot of people would disagree with you, my wife included. But I, you're an incredibly joyful presence.
Yeah, it's
like
fake.
People.
You know what I'm
no, it's not at all, because I know you well, and it's super real in who you are, and you light up every room that you're in.
Thank you, Chet.
And Lex, would you agree with that? You can't see her. Yeah. Like, you are known for that.
It's my daughter, so.
Yeah, but like, it is a joy to be around you and to serve in the church
So. That was, I think those were some of my favorite years of serving with you, because it is, it's just like, it's going to be with your best friends, you know?
Maybe too much fun, you know?
Yeah, but here's what I noticed about you is, even in the busyness of life, like you have three young kids. How old are the babies?
6, 3, and like 1.5.
Yeah. And you are going to get your PhD.
Yep. Working on it. Yep.
And that's no small feat. And you're leading a church and you guys are in this huge process of, you're like homeless right now.
Yeah. Yep. like the children of Israel. Yeah.
Yeah. Wandering.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys are building a new building and hopefully going to be breaking ground this year.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. But what I've always admired is that there is a sense of fighter spirit in you of like, okay, there's a lot, but you can kind of get through it, or you will, you have this attitude of like, I'm going to figure out a better rhythm. Like if this rhythm's not working, I want to find a better rhythm. Tell me about healthy rhythms in your life that help you create a sense of like balance or.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I'm still always, like you said, kind of figuring it out, you know. So if anything I say is helpful, that's great, because I don't I definitely don't know
students
all the answers
coming at you.
Yeah. For myself. But there's a lot of like a lot of authors and thinkers that have like kind of influenced some of the ways that I just think about my own self-management.
Yeah.
Like
self-management.
Because I think
good.
It all starts there.
A million percent.
Like for me, this year has been really hard. Like it is not, you know, stepping into 2025, just knowing like kind of everything that we're doing. I'm like, man, this is all great stuff, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
And I'm like already overwhelmed and we haven't even got into the deep end yet, you know? And so a lot of this stuff has been on my mind a lot, just because trying to like prepare myself and navigate. But the other side of it is like one thing I always kind of tell myself, especially in this season, is like, these are all the things you have prayed for. These are all the things you've asked God for. And blessings are complicated sometimes, you know, and like God's grace, you know, can add a weight of responsibility to your life, but like, that's good. But you still have to, you know, you can still feel it. So anyway, so like, just kind of, I always need to remind myself of that perspective. But I like a lot of the writings of Cal Newport on like managing your schedule in your life.
So what's your favorite book by him?
Deep Work.
Yeah.
Is my favorite. Slow Productivity is probably my second favorite. He's got a good podcast where he kind of talks all about it, but he is a, computer programming is his background. So it's like nothing like ministry, but everything he says, I feel, has been really, really
helpful.
It's like,
helpful. How stressful can computer man be?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, I've been on a laptop before. but he has a lot of good ideas about, like, how do you organize your life for, like, deep work, where you're really focused, you're not distracted.
And how does he define, like, deep work? What does that look like?
Yeah, so it's work that is, like, it's not superficial. It's work that it requires your full concentration, but if you do it, it adds real value to the world. So, like, you know, you can get, you can go through a work day, like, we all know this, and you're, like, tuned out with emails and meetings and stuff, but it's like, yeah, stuff happened, but like, was it really valuable?
Yeah, you get home and you're like, what did I actually do today?
Yeah. So his all is like, how do you not get caught? Because one of his thesis is that deep work is becoming more rare in the world, but it's becoming more valuable at the same time, which I think is true. And I think sermons is deep work. I think like thinking about the future and the vision of the church is kind of deep work.
Yeah.
It requires your focus, but if you can do it, you know, by God's grace, then it has huge value.
Yeah, it changes the trajectory. Something you were saying earlier that hit me was, there's so many listeners who you are not the only thing you're responsible for. And I think that's one of the things when I think about joy and healthy rhythms, I think one of the things is the weight I carry, and just hearing you're carrying the weight of being a leader who's leading people into the unknown and your three babies and school. And I think sometimes that weight can press in, and then you lose sight because everything feels hard and overwhelming. And in the overwhelming seasons of life, I love this idea of like your self-examination of what you can do. So when you think about deep work, how has it helped you as like a dad or a husband?
Yeah. Well, one of the questions like Allie and I have been talking a lot about is like, what is the vision for our family? And cause like, I think, you know, with where my kids' ages are in my mind, I'm like, I've got a 10-year window right now where I can really impart like, man, a great foundation for Christ, for our relationship, for our family, or I can kind of let it slip by, which like,
and it flies.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm pretty good at doing that. So like, but it like takes time to think about that, you know, like I, you know, if you
it's
ask
work.
Me that, and I don't have like an answer right off the top of my head. So we've like actually been kind of trying to like think about that. And I heard a pastor challenge me and he was challenging other people too. But he said, you should have as great a vision for your family as you do for your church.
Yeah.
And I know how to work towards a vision for the church, but like my vision for my family was like, you know, I want them to be good people. Like, okay, well, that's great.
How?
But like, like dig into that. Like what is the unique thing? So we've been kind of trying to think a lot about that and pray about that and like write some like lists, like who do we want them to be, you know? And so anyway, but all of that stuff, like as soon as I start to get my mind around it, then it helps me to like not miss the forest for the trees. And like in this season, you can't do everything and you can't, you know, and for me, it's very easy to miss the things that are most important. So by like stepping back and reminding myself, like, what is the big picture? What are we trying to accomplish? What matters most to me at the end of the day? Like that helps me. You know,
I'm a huge believer in this because Jake and I, we started so young. We're like on the other side. So Tay's getting married in August. Chrissy and his fiance.
Hey, congrats.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They just got engaged. And so, like, we're so on the other side of the season that we've had a lot of retrospect, like, looking back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, like, the best to be able to look back and be like, okay, where'd you get it right? Where did you struggle? And the thing that we talk about consistently with other families is like, man, make those values for your family when the kids are young and don't overcomplicate it. Make two or three that you really live by. And it does keep you on focus and on par of like, what is most important in this crew? Because I think with kids and life, everything gets pulled in different directions and sports come and, hardships come and, you know, drama of teenage years and all the things, but the gift of us trying to say, okay, how do we be super intentional with our family? It did create a rhythm of joy, you know, because fun was one of our big ones.
Love that.
And so we were intentional about let's create moments that are truly fun.
Yeah.
And let's get away together. God being number one in our life, it was like a non-negotiable. And so now all three of my kids are part of the church and love God, and that is only by the grace of God. You know,
but you guys were intentional about it too, and you thought about it and you organized around it.
And I think that is that I think when I'm at my most joyful, I'm at my I have the most ease in my soul, and I think that is comes from like that time with God, but also the intentionality of like what is most important in life.
I agree, and I think like you know, you can't like sit around in life and wait for joy to come upon you. You know, like create a life that
the Calvary's
enjoy.
Not coming.
That's right. And I think like that is one of the graces of God, that like he does give us the ability to think through our life and how we're going to live it and what we're going to do with our time. And he kind of invites us into that joy, you know? Like there is an element, misery is a choice. I heard a great, what's that guy's name? He wrote Moneyball. Michael.
All I know is didn't Brad Pitt play in it?
Yes. Yeah. He's a beautiful man.
Well, he's not as good looking as my husband.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
All,
I agree with that. Yeah. I'll take Jake over Brad Pitt any day.
Amen.
Michael Lewis. That was his name.
Yes.
But he's a great author. But he said that at some point in his life, he decided that every room he walked into, he was going to be the happiest guy in the room. Like, he just decided that. And I always thought, like, that's
I'd
a cool.
I'd be friends with him.
I was like, what a cool mindset to have. Like, okay, whatever the temperature in this room is, I don't care. Like, this is what, you know, like, I like people who are thermostats. You know, like, they're not
they
just reflecting
the
temperature.
You're
100% that.
Well,
you're
think
probably
the same
like,
about you.
You're an incredibly powerful thermostat. And I think as Christians, we ought to be that.
1,000,000%, because you are representing something bigger. You know, you are representing something. So let me ask you this. When you don't feel like a thermostat. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You walk into your day and you just don't feel it. What gets you in the mindset or what helps you become that?
Well, I think
liquor.
That definitely helps. I'm thinking of, I heard this verse in Ecclesiastes and it said that getting older is like a dying grasshopper bleeding that's being dragged across the ground. And I was like, that's my new life verse.
<You're so stupid. laughs>
This is really, this is in Ecclesiastes. So what was your question?
How
so the days
become?
Where I feel like that grasshopper. I, you know, like the basics work phenomenal in my life. Like I wake up, I have a Bible reading plan every day, read a couple verses. I have a prayer strategy that I do. It's like a 12-step thing. It sounds intense. It's not. It's like very doable, but like you just kind of go through like praise, waiting, asking, thanking. Like it's just very simple.
Is it something we could add into the notes?
Yeah, it's a book. I got it from a book called like The 1 Hour That Changes the World, something like that. It's by Dick Eastman. It is that is revolutionized like my prayer. Like it just gave me a framework that works for me. It clicked in me and it's really like it's so good. A lot of times I'll do it while I walk around the neighborhood.
Being outside.
And it's easier for me to pray if like my body's moving a little bit. So, you know, like I said, like if I can begin my day, which I try to prioritize that, like with the Lord, man, that's a game changer right there, you know? So that always helps me. I do a little journaling every day. It's
you
like,
do?
Yeah. So it's,
do you have like a lock and key on that sucker?
And the first page says, please don't read this. Dear diary. Today, Sarah made fun of me, and that's going in tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's 5 years, and it's like just a little bit of space. So all you have to do is like write a line or two.
Yeah.
It's so
that.
Cool.
I think Taylor got me that
but
for my birthday.
Like that helps me. It also helps me realize, it's cool.
Okay.
But it like helps you to see the patterns in your life.
Yeah.
Like, okay, why am I like always in the down end? You know?
Yeah.
And it actually like helps me to get a little self-awareness to be like,
yeah.
Why are you feeling the way you're doing?
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know? Yeah.
You know, something that I think it was you, if not, we'll just give you credit, taught me was creating rhythms of fun in your schedule.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about that for a second?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge believer in that. Have you heard of that Jesse Itzler guy?
Mm-mm.
Itzler? I don't know how to... Do you know how to say it, Lex? No. He's some guy.
He sounds very
interesting. Yeah, he's very interesting.
Memorable.
But he has this idea of like every other month you should have something on your calendar you're looking forward
to.
He calls it Kevin's Rule because there's some guy that he knew. And I think that's really helpful.
Yeah.
And like
wait, what is it every other month?
Yeah, he has it every other month. I mean, if you can do it more.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, say more
go
is better.
For
yeah.
it. But like I think there should be, or for me, it's really helpful to have some rhythms to the year that I look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're in July. I love this month because we do the Sabbath month.
Mm-hmm.
We slow down our services. I try to do like a little vacation there, like with friends. We're doing that this week. I'm super pumped about that.
I know. I can't wait.
But like, I look forward to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, hobbies are like life-giving. You know, there's a couple things I love to do.
So
a lot
what's
of things.
Your favorite hobby?
Well, jiu-jitsu's been my favorite hobby, but my body is not liking it.
Hey, I heard Ryan Davis is doing jiu-jitsu in the kind of way that's easy on your body.
Yeah, I need to give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing it in Medina. He's got a...
He did text me about that.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Chet's back has been jacked for as long
it's
as
embarrassing.
I can remember. He actually looks crooked sometimes. Like, maybe you need a new hobby, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. But I like that. I love being on the water.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Playing on Lake Erie.
Foil boarding.
Yeah, which we'll like, you know, we'll try to get a few like lake days with the kids.
Yeah.
And that's like, that fills my soul.
Yeah.
I know we got some Lake Erie haters out there and I'll pray
it's
the
a
Lord.
Shame.
Yeah. Pray the Lord's mercy on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Hunting is like a new favorite thing. Reading, I love reading too. I notice that my tank gets filled up if I'm like reading a book consistently. But I think like Wayne Cordero, he says like, look, if you're a leader, and we all, probably most of us listening are, like whether it's in your home.
1,000,000%.
Whatever. Like your most important job is to keep yourself encouraged.
Yeah.
Because when you're discouraged... Only bad things happen. Like, do you make good decisions discouraged? No, none of us do.
No.
Like, do you have a whole lot to offer? Like, no. So, like, whose job is it to encourage me? Me.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
I love that idea.
And, like, it's, and a lot of it is understanding yourself.
And there is something so healthy and spiritually mature in an adult that knows that.
Mm-hmm.
In somebody who says, because I think so often we blame other people or we go to like all the reasons we're discouraged and you sit and you park yourself in that and that's what your conversations are wrapped around. Or instead of like, okay, this happened, it's real, it is discouraging, but now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's something, those are my favorite people to be around.
Yeah.
Is people that can be self-aware and figure out how to grow and get better.
Yeah. They tend to be more enjoyable, life-giving.
Yeah.
You know, and I think all of us probably want to be that.
1,000,000%. Yeah.
And it's like you can look around your life and you can find 1,000,000 reasons to be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody can.
Yeah.
Like we all got problems.
Yeah.
We all have struggles. We all are frustrated with our own sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like And it's not that you don't see those things, but it's like, what am I going to focus on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think like the great spiritual giants are like, you know, I'm going to focus on the Lord. It's not that these things aren't in my life. They yeah. are, but they're not going to be the focal point.
Yeah. Or even like getting it out, but getting it out with God.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
not on Facebook.
Yep.
I think the one of the things that I enjoy so much is healthy perspective. Mm. And so you've given some great insight into like healthy habits and healthy rhythms. I will try to link or the
yeah.
list the name of the book in the notes, but if you're in a spot of discouragement right now, what is one thing, like the number one tip you would give to somebody? Because here's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We know working out is good.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to. Or you know coming to church is where you should be. But it's like in those moments, those are the last things we want to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
So what would be a piece of advice to be like?
Yeah. Here's what's coming to mind. The times where I am really down and really kind of, yeah, discouraged, and I'm like, man, I like the things that maybe normally help me get
like,
out of it a
yeah.
little bit, like aren't working. Like pleading with the Lord for a word, and then searching the scriptures for that word.
Okay.
Now I know that sounds like the pastoral answer.
No,
but
I like it.
But I think like like actually like I you know through this year I think I have it in my pocket. You know, we're in the building campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It's like challenging and all this stuff. And I was just like, Lord, I need a word.
I
need
love
a word.
This, yeah.
And, cause like I've always found that God will give that to you if you ask him and it will be exactly
what
you
need.
And if you can hold on to it, the encouragement will come from it. And anyway, so I was, you know, I'd kind of been praying this for a little bit, and then I was in my Bible reading plan, and I was in First Chronicles, and I was like, I don't want to read First, like,
yeah.
I need a
yeah.
word right now.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just going to get, I'm going to get lost
yeah.
in,
might as well be in Leviticus.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, kind of like, you know, dragging my feet, reading this. And then I got this: be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God, even my God, is with you.
Mm-hmm.
He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished.
Let's go.
And with you and all the work will be every willing man who has skill for any kind of service.
And that's like a word only from God.
It was, yeah. And like even the second half of it, because of that he's going to send the people, was like something that was so important to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay,
this is
Lord, thank you.
So what was your word?
It was just that verse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just that,
the whole entirety of it.
Yeah. Like, cause all of it was just like, okay, you're discouraged now. You're afraid. Don't be.
I love
just
it.
Just do it. Keep one foot
do
in front
it.
Of the other, man. You know, you don't have to understand how God's going to work it all out,
yeah.
but like, can you put one foot in the, you know, trusting him? So anyway, so like, I've always found that God will give you a scripture that is the anchor that you need in that season, in that moment, you know?
Yeah.
And I think then everything is secondary to that.
Yeah.
If I can hear from the Lord.
Amen.
And you don't have to, like, please don't hear that as, like, some kind of spiritual, you know.
No, I think
anyone can do this.
But
like,
I think it is. I think it's super healthy. I think so often we struggle and we go to all these things, we go to these places, and it's like it's right in front of you.
Yeah.
The scripture is right there.
And don't underestimate the power of it.
1,000,000%.
Like, it is the word of God.
Yeah.
It is life.
Yes.
It is nourishment.
Yeah.
Like, try it out.
God knew what he was
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe just stay away from Leviticus.
So. Yeah.
Chet, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for filling in. Your friendship has meant the world to Jacob and I, and we adore you and Allie more than we could ever say.
Well, I love you guys more and glad to be here.
All right, Growtential, if this has been helpful, we ask that you share it. Share it with a friend, give us a like, and we will see you next time.